Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Father. Now, so this is part three. I don't want to cover too much of the ground that we've been over before, but this is part three of the series we've been looking at. This is obviously the third week, and are you out of order? Are you out of order? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace sanctify you, the God of shalom, the God of nothing missing, nothing broken, sanctify you, make you holy in every way." Say, every way. Make you holy. Say, make me holy. Come on, invite him. Hallelujah, I tell you. May the God of peace sanctify you, make you holy in every way, make your whole spirit, and you've got to get the order here, your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Man is a spirit who has a soul and who lives in a body. Remember my computer, we started that. It just fed a couple of weeks ago, began that analogy of my computer, my laptop, it's hardware, it has software, both of these are housed in the outer shell. Well, bad news this morning, still having problems with the computer, it's winging its way back to Edinburgh again. So although a spirit problem, its hardware issue was resolved, it's still having some software issues. Now that's a bit like us, we get born again, our spirit problem is resolved, and yet we still have some soul issues. And sadly, some people got them down the country trying to get them fixed instead of just going back to the maker. Amen. Back to the creator, back to the designer, back to the one who knows exactly how everything works and exactly how to put everything back in order. The God of peace who can sanctify you, make you holy in every way, and get your whole life back in order, spirit and soul and body, so that you may be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Hallelujah. So remember the last week it was the logic board had been replaced in my computer, and logic actually is defined as reason, as judgment, as logical thought, as rationality, wisdom, and good sense. I'll tell you what, I've been back in Proverbs the last few days, just started in Proverbs chapter 1, just working my way through. I tell you, there's some wisdom in it. Sometimes you just stop and meditate on it, it just blows you away. The stuff in there is just so life-changing, life-transforming. Life-keeping, actually, and life-preserving. In fact, that's the message of it over and over again. It says, if you just keep these words, you'll keep your life. If you ignore these words, they'll take you into the road that leads to death. Awesome stuff. Just good sense. Good sense. Remember the English word logic, as I said last week, just kind of go down on the inside of me. I couldn't rest until I checked where it came from, and it comes from the Greek. The Greek word is logikos, which in the New Testament basically carries the meaning of divine reasonableness. I love that. Talk a little bit about that. Divine reasonableness. The reasonableness of God. The reasonableness of our heavenly Father. Who remembers when you were a child, or probably even more so as a teenager, and your parents were just so unreasonable? Was I the only one? I doubt it. Our parents were just so unreasonable. They just couldn't see things the way we saw them. Everything they said and everything they told us we weren't allowed to do was just so unreasonable. All of the advice they gave us, so-called advice, was just so unreasonable. Well, let me tell you, you see, your soul responds to the reasonableness of your Heavenly Father in the same way that we responded to what we believed to be the unreasonableness of our earthly father or mother. I want to tell you this morning, revival is when people get back to living from their spirit rather than their soul. Revival is when we abandon spiritual apathy, passive acceptance, for active and aggressive expectancy. See, and you know what the soul does in response to all that? It whines at the unreasonableness of it all. Maybe your soul said this morning, because and you've got your body on board and on site, saying, I don't really want to go to church today. Why do we have to go to church? And you come up with this idea, well, maybe some of this happened with some people that aren't here this morning. Oh, let's just stay in bed. Well, that sounds logical. Sounds so reasonable. We've had a long week. It's been a hard week. That's why God said meet together on the first day of the week. Sunday's not part of the weekend. I know I've said this before, but ding dong, here we go again. Some people think, oh, I can't, oh, no, oh, Sunday, I can't get up on the weekend to go to church. It's not part of the weekend, it's the beginning of the week. Any calendar in your house that puts Monday at the start of the week, dump it. The weekend begins on a Friday when you finish work, and it includes Saturday, and then you start the week again. With God. Hallelujah. In the house of God, with the people of God, with the saints of God, to praise Him, to give Him glory, to give Him honor. Hallelujah. That old week is gone and a new week has come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So unreasonable. See, our new or our renewed spirit life begins to abandon so many of the trappings of the soul, and our soul cries out and says, this is unreasonable. But it's the normal spiritual life. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will bring conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. See, there's no more room, folks. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's no more room for rationalizing sin. Because when your logic board, when your spirit man is quickened and made alive again, your spirit always says yes to God. Do you know that? Do you know that your spirit never says no to God? Your spirit man never says no to God. That's why, as we said in the first part of this series, man had to go from his spirit to his soul before he fell. That wasn't the result of the fall. That's what caused the fall. The serpent came along and says, did God really say anything? Why would God tell you not to eat of that wonderful? Look at, have a look. Oh, yeah, that looks really nice. I wouldn't mind a piece of that. I mean, why would God say no to you? Now, that's so unreasonable. The devil said, oh, come on, God just knows that the day you hear that, you're going to be more like Him. It's going to make you wise. Oh, that sounds logical. Went from the spirit to the soul and blew it. Your spirit never says no to God's word. Your spirit always says yes. Your spirit always says amen. Your soul might want to debate, your soul might want to argue, your soul might want to rationalize and even rebel against the unreasonableness of God's word. Think about it, come on, apply it somewhere in your life. I could quit preaching and get to meddling, you know what I'm saying? And that's how some folks would perceive it, because we could start pinpointing somewhere. Well, who knows, we'll go with the flow. But let me inform you today, in case you don't know this already. And remember I said at the beginning of this series will change your life if you let it. This series will deal with all the negative issues of your life and equip you to be able to stand against anything that comes against you. Hallelujah. If your heart is going after God, then this message is what your spirit is hungry and thirsty for. If your heart is going after God, it's His divine reasonableness that your spirit is hungry and thirsty for. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after the divine reasonableness of your heavenly Father. This is what your spirit man is crying out for. This is what that part of you that God created in his image to be joined to Him, to live in communication and fellowship with Him. That's what it's crying out for. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, let me give you these couple of scriptures again, the only two scriptures in the New Testament where this Greek word logikos shows up. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your logikos, which is your spiritual, it's translated in this scripture in the New American Standard Bible, spiritual, of the spirit, divinely reasonable. In fact, in the New King James, it says, which is your reasonable service. But which is your spiritual or of the spirit, your divinely reasonable and rational service of worship. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, this is from the Amplified Bible, it says, like newborn babies, you should long for the pure logikos. The milk and the it's translated there of the word, the pure milk of the logikos of the word, divinely reasonable, divinely rational, pure milk. So we long for, we cry out for God's reasonableness, because everything that comes out of our soul and everything that has taken us down the wrong road and everything that has left us looking at the black screen of death over and over and over and over again has come out of our unreasonableness. Our rejection of His reasonableness. Our rebellion against His reasonableness. Again, rebellion against His word that came to preserve us from death and to cause us to live in the fullness of everything He created us to have and to enjoy. Hallelujah. Tell you what, I woke up in the early hours just a few mornings ago and this stuff was going off on me like fireworks. I didn't know the time was the 5th of November. About 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe earlier than that, I just, boom. Let me just give you some, God just started taking me to places and instances where Jesus was ministering to people. And, you know, Jesus sat down with a woman at a well one day. We all know about it, don't we? I want to tell you this morning, He didn't go there just to hang out with her and hopefully let His little light shine. He had a divine appointment and said He needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through that city. He needed to meet that lady that day. And during that meeting, when the Holy Spirit-led conversation had reached an appropriate place, and when the opportunity arose to address what was the primary issue that was impacting this woman's life, the reason that she was at the well at that time, on that day, when the opportunity arose to address the root of what was holding her in bondage, because the fact that she was there all on her own at that time of day was just a symptom of the bondage that she was in as a result of the lifestyle she was living. Somebody help me here this morning. When the opportunity arose to address that, Jesus didn't choose the politically correct route of least offense. He didn't say, "Why don't you go and get your partner?" He said, "Go get your husband." Because He already knew by the Spirit that she didn't have a husband. He already knew by the Spirit that she'd already been married 5 times and the guy she was with right now wasn't her husband. You see, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He convicts the world of sin. When that happens, people respond in one of 2 ways. They either embrace the light and confess their sin and receive forgiveness for their sin, or they are offended and they run from the light and they retreat into the darkness. That's making sense to anybody this morning. They either take the blame and receive forgiveness and go away blameless, because that's the only route to experience blamelessness. They either take the blame and they receive forgiveness and they go away blameless, or they try and shift the blame and they remain guilty. Who knows, love and truth are inseparable. Jesus came as a walking, talking, living demonstration of the Father's love. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The reason I'm here is because God so loved the world that He gave me into the world. He sent me into the world, not to condemn the world, but so that the world through me might be saved. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and life." He said, "I am the way to the Father. I am the truth about the Father. And I am the life of the Father." He never deviated from, He never compromised one time, not even one time, not even a tiny little way, did He compromise or deviate from or dilute the truth. He never addressed a situation and missed and hit the wall. Somebody help me this morning. And so when He spoke to this woman at the well of Samaria, He spoke words of truth that sought an answer in truth. Because truth is fundamental to any relationship. I said He spoke words of truth that sought a response of truth, because truth is fundamental to any relationship. This relationship could not go any further unless truth was the foundation of that relationship. And that's what He gets. She says, "I don't have a husband." She says, He said, "You're right. You know, you've got 5. And the guy you're with right now isn't your husband." There's no attempt at this point by Jesus to begin to soulishly rationalize this woman's life and experience. "Oh, I know you've had a hard time. I know the first guy used to beat you. The first guy went off with somebody. The same guy went off." He didn't. There's no attempt to rationalize at all. There's no opportunity given for her to explain any of the whys or the wherefores of her history. She's not offered counseling or divorce recovery. Just an opportunity to respond in true worship to the one who she's discovering knows all about her and who desires her to know him and to acknowledge him as Father. This is what was going off in me the other morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. Jesus always spoke to the Spirit. He never spoke to the soul. I said, Jesus always spoke to the Spirit. He never spoke to the soul. Why? Because he wanted a response from the Spirit. And this lady responds with the truth that she has no husband. And then Jesus goes on and reads her mail. And she says, well, I perceive that you are a prophet. I said, oh, I tell you, this conversation has moved up to a new level. It's moved up a level. Jesus always wanted a response from the Spirit because he came to awaken, he came to quicken, he came to bring to life the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 it says, and you he made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sins. Hallelujah. In the Message translation it says, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then you exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. But he came to deliver us from that mess and he spoke to our spirit because he came to bring our spirit to life. Because he was always looking for a response from the Spirit. He didn't always get it, but that's what he was looking for. He never once came out of the Spirit and began to speak to someone's soul. I want to tell you, 85% of the church is trying to speak to people's souls, trying to fix their soul. But you can't fix someone's soul. If you've got to start, you've got to get into God's order. You start with the Spirit, and from the Spirit, the soul can be changed. Hallelujah. First Peter, we read it, is cry out for the glory of God, the divine reasonableness of God, and you may begin to grow and begin to experience the fullness of your salvation, that it may begin to impact upon your soul and on your body. Hallelujah. In Proverbs it says, these words of wisdom, they're life to all your flesh. If you want to be healed in your body, then you've got to start with your spirit, embracing the word that comes to your spirit. To the woman at the well, Jesus said, the spirit words that he speaks are, go, call your husband. Words of truth. Spirit words are always words of truth. To the woman caught in adultery, he says, where are your accusers? Who knows, that's our opportunity to dust herself down and say, ah, it's all a load of lies anyhow. I'm out of here. No, she stays exactly where she is. She knows she's guilty. She obviously knows she's in the presence of the only one who can save her from her shame. Who can deliver her from her blameworthiness. Because I've experienced this for years. It's frustrated me for years. I've sat down with people and said, oh, well, you know, I was never that bad a person. I said, oh, so Jesus didn't have to die for you then. You were such a bad person, the Son, the sinless Son of God, had to go on the cross because of you. That's how bad you were. Until you understand that and realize that, you ain't going anywhere in the kingdom of God. You can mess around in some soulless little game of religion, but you'll never understand what it's all about. You'll never truly enter into a place of where your gratitude and thanksgiving just go up every day to the one who redeemed you and saved you by his blood. Somebody help me here this morning. Yeah. I have to say, I don't know what I've done to deserve this. Well, if you don't know, who knows? You know, you deserve a lot worse than this. The Bible says that by God's mercies, all of us aren't consumed right now. That big fireball just doesn't appear here right now and just burn us all up. It's by his mercy. I don't know why I didn't deserve this. If you don't know, who knows? I want to tell you, God has provided a way out of it. In his mercy. And his love for you, and his incredible love for you. He said, I don't want you to stay in that marriage. I don't want you to get what you deserve. That's what mercy does. It doesn't give you what you deserve. And it opens up grace and says, now you can have what you don't deserve. Get it, fire, bro. Tell me I'm preaching good. Hallelujah. Remember the Gentile woman whose daughter was demonized comes to Jesus and he says to her, this is spirit words. He's speaking spirit words and he says, you know what? It's not right to give the children's bread to the little dogs. What's he looking for? He's looking for a spirit response. She says, oh yeah, that's true. She's not saying, how dare you call me a little dog? You don't know I'm offended at that. No, she says, well actually, even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He says, wow. He's blown away. Imagine blowing away Jesus. Imagine impressing him. That's something. He says, great is your faith. From that moment, her daughter was delivered from her demon. Hallelujah. Spirit words. He didn't go down the politically correct route of least offense. None of it. He spoke words. He said, blessed are those who are not offended in me. You want to be blessed? Don't take offense. It'll divert you, derail you. Cut you off from the blessing. To the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, he says, do you want to be healed? Spirit words, that's spirit words. That's words speaking to his spirit, not speaking to his body or to his soul that has suffered for years under this affliction. He's not speaking to these things. He's not saying, oh, how long have you had this? Oh, no, what is the doctor saying? When's your next appointment? He doesn't go through all of that garbage. He says, do you want to be healed? Spirit word, right to the man's spirit. I tell you, they could have hit his soul, he could have been offended. He said, how dare you? Get away from me! Oh, screaming. Call security. You know what that man said to me? Oh, that's terrible. Did he really say that? Oh, get him out. Spirit word. And that man walked out of that place healed that day because the spirit responded. Somebody help me. And the crowd with the woman with the issue of blood, he says, hey, who touched me? This was our opportunity to duck through the crowd with her healing and get out of there, because she wasn't meant to be there. And everybody knew that. Everybody that knew her knew she shouldn't be there because she was unclean because of her affliction. Spirit words, who touched me? I feel better. Go away from me. Who touched me? To the blind man at the side of the road, he had the two blind men, he says, what do you want me to do for you? Spirit words. You think, well, it's pretty obvious what they want you to do, but no, maybe they just want some money in their bucket, but if that's what they want, that's what I'll get. Because according to your faith, so it shall be unto you. Oh, well, master, if you think you can spare us a few shekels, any problem, here you go. He always gives you more than you ask for, but we want to receive our side. Spirit words. Spirit response. Spirit solution. Nicodemus, he says to him, do you not understand that you must be born again from above? Are you the teacher of Israel and yet you don't know these things? Spirit words. You must be born again. You must be born from above. Remember when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part of me. They're spirit words. People that receive these words in their soul, it says that many were offended at what he said. Many who had thought, oh yeah, we'd like to be around Jesus. It seems like a pretty cool place to be. It seems like a really cool guy to hang out with. It seems like you can get free dinners and everything. Come on, this sounds really good. And they're offended at it because they're spirit words. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you've got no part of me in there. So they took off. He turns to the rest of the guys, the 12, he says, hey guys, what about you? And Peter, good old Peter, responds from the Spirit and says, where else can we go? Because you have the free dinners. You have the mother-in-law healing capabilities. You have the storm stilling anointing. No, you have the words, spirit words, the words of eternal life, spirit words. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke spirit words. I tell you, when he was walking down by the Lake of Galilee one day and said, "Hey guys, follow me," they were spirit words. They were spirit words. They demanded a response from the Spirit. You need to understand, let the dead bury their dead. These are spirit words. How offended could somebody be at that? Unless someone's willing to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. That's spirit words. That's unreasonable to the soul, but it's completely reasonable to the Spirit. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, then verses 34 to 35, just going to stuff them together. Verse 10, it says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not." The most simple stories, the most simple analogies, the most simple metaphors that you could give. And yet because people try to process them with their soul, they missed it. Or they got offended at it. Or they probably said, "That just sounds ridiculous. I'm not Sunday school age anymore. I don't need to listen to these ridiculous stories. I'm going back down to the synagogue and hear some real teaching." Something I can't understand. At least I know mine. It must be deep. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Lest they should recognize that their soul is inadequate, that all of what they have claimed to be unreasonable, the unreasonableness of God is truly the reasonableness of God, and everything that they've been running with has been the real unreasonable mess. Lest they should turn and I should heal them," because that's all he's longing for. But I tell you, he'll speak spirit words to you, and unless your spirit responds to his spirit words, you'll never experience everything that he has for you. Your spirit always says yes to him. It's your soul that wants to argue and fuss and cuss and debate. It's your soul that says, "That's unreasonable." And I guarantee you, my friend, if you'll stand on the word for your healing, you will be healed. "That's unreasonable. Pamper me. Ask me how I'm doing. Ask me what colour the pills are I'm taking. How many times do you have to take them? Come on, sympathise with me that I have to go back and forth the doctor all the time. Come on, somebody. Don't tell me God wants to. I've seen people have said that to me. Don't tell. I know. Don't tell me what God says. I don't want to hear what God says. That's someone's soul. I used to hear fat, ugly. Come on, somebody. Our national church, maybe I shouldn't say this, but there's an example said, we know what the Bible says, but that doesn't matter because we know better now. You can go, "Oh yeah, that's terrible." I might tell you, Christians every day say the same thing. Out of their soul, instead of responding to the spirit words. Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." And then in verse 34, and all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Jesus spoke spirit words. Why? Because the Father is seeking worshippers in spirit and in truth. He's seeking worshippers who respond in spirit. That's what worshippers do. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say. Whatever you say. I say yes, Lord. Jesus spoke spirit words so that there would be a spirit response from those whose hearts were after him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. They scan the whole earth to show himself strong. For what? To find some loser down there that's messing up again so he can hit him with his baseball bat. No, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is completely his. Who are saying, speak to me, Lord. Whatever you say, let it be to me according to your word. Give me a spirit word that I can respond to with my whole spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, because he's the one who forgives all my iniquities. Who heals all my diseases. Delivering my life from destruction. Come on. See, my soul and your soul doesn't understand the kingdom. My soul and your soul, we can't process the wisdom that comes from above because it always seems so unreasonable. I'll never forget hearing about Smith Wigglesworth that time when he was preaching in some church. He'd been asked to come and do some meetings. And after the first meeting, two of the deacons came and said, oh, excuse me, Mr. Wigglesworth, but there's a lady from this church. She's a wonderful, faithful member. Great. She's very wealthy and she gives a lot of money to the church. And she's been lying in her sick bed now for several weeks. And we were just wondering if you would come and pray for her. He says, certainly I'll come with you. They go down to the house. He walks into the bedroom. He sees the woman lying down in her bed. He says, I'm not praying for you. You don't want to be healed. Spirit words! The deacons couldn't get him out there fast enough. They said, manifesting all over. They said, if we could cancel the meetings, we'd cancel them. In fact, we'll do one more meeting and then we'll cancel it then. It was too late to cancel that. So they went back. The meeting began. They were in the time of saying. In comes a woman. Right down the front. She says, excuse me, Mr. Wigglesworth. I want to tell you, you came into my room this morning and you spoke words of truth. And I'm here to receive my healing. We have a shaka. Come on, somebody! Amen. Hallelujah. No messing about. Spirit words. Only spirit words demand a spirit response. And only a spirit response to spirit words can result in you experiencing everything that God has so lovingly and so faithfully provided for you. In all of his fullness. I might tell you something this morning. I guess you ain't figured it out yet. And I'm willing to admit this morning. And maybe you need to too. My soul loves the world just as it is. My soul loves the world in its fallen condition. You know, the soul comes up with all kinds of logical remedies to self-medicate. I mean, let's just have a wee drink. There's never been so many Christians drinking. Why is that? Because they don't know nothing about the spirit. And they've gone back into the soul, and they do what the soul does, and self-medicates. Well, there's nothing like a glass of wine to relax when you get home at night. Back where the talk's off the hall. We'll have one when I get home. What are we going to have for dinner? I don't know, what's in the fridge? Well, let's sit down, let's have the second glass. And that was a lovely meal. What can we do for the rest of the night? Well, let's just sit down on the couch with the remote control and finish the ball. Self-medication. Why not smoke some weed? I mean, it won't be long before it's legalized anyway. Everybody knows it has medicinal qualities. Biggest lie ever sold anybody. I've spoken to people who've been under that mess. They'll tell you they're still paranoid because of it. They're still trying to deal with all the fallout from that stuff. Because it's, I think it's even worse than drink. Opens you up, I believe, to more demonic manifestation, infestation, control. Why don't we just watch some porn? Come on. Why don't we have an affair?
Techstar. In fact, why don't we just indulge in some retail therapy? Why don't we buy something we can't afford? We know how good that makes us feel. Or let's just hit the couch with the remote control. Slow out again. I tell you, I don't know about your soul, but my soul doesn't think many of these things are too unreasonable. Somebody. But my spirit does not love the world as it is. Because my spirit knows that God's kingdom is not of this world. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 16, it says, did you come this morning for a spirit word? That's not what it says, I'm asking you. That was the Donnie Stewart translation, all right? Paraphrase. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15. Did you come this morning for a spirit word? Did you come to take your Sunday box? To say, oh well, we went to church this morning, glory to God, thank God, that's over for another week. It was a bit late, but anyway, oh, well, maybe you'll do better next time. Keep praying for him. This is what it says, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. Do not love the world of sin that opposes God and his precepts, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, remember that's the desire to indulge, we looked at last week, the lust of the eyes, the desire to acquire, the pride of life, the desire to impress. None of that is of the Father, but is of the world. Do not love, I love that's from the Amplified Bible that puts that in. Do not love the world of sin that opposes God and his precepts. Let me tell you, one morning, when I was away, when I was over in America, because I'd taken that time out primarily just to seek the Lord, spend some time in his presence, just to, I don't know, just to rest in the Lord, I'm talking about. That means you're up early every morning in the Word. Hallelujah. Same, my spirit's open. Fill me. Feed me. Hallelujah. And one morning when I was away, I was reading and meditating on Psalm 119, all 176 verses of it. I want to tell you, for a few months, a couple of years ago, I actually read and meditated on that psalm every single day for a few months. I just felt the Lord said to do that. But as I was reading this psalm that morning in Tennessee, it struck me, it just broke loose on the inside of me that this is actually the greatest love song to the Lord ever. It's a song beyond Solomon's. You see, Jesus says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will love my word. You will love to hear my voice. See, this psalm is a declaration of love. Because this psalm is a recognition that love is more than a second-hand emotion. That love is a spirit response to spirit words. See, the ultimate evidence of love, in case you don't know this already, is faithfulness. That's the evidence of love. The ultimate evidence of love is faithfulness. Man, I just don't love him anymore. You don't even know what love means yet. Love doesn't give up. Love never quits. Love never fails. I don't know what you had, but it wasn't love. I don't know what you thought you had, but it wasn't love. Not a God kind of love. The ultimate evidence of love is faithfulness. And in this psalm, the songwriter repeats over and over. He says, your ways, your precepts, your statutes, your commandments, your judgments, your word, your testimonies, your law, your righteousness, your salvation, your ordinances, your favor, your tender mercies, your loving kindness, your faithfulness, your mercy, your justice. See, love is never about me getting my way. Love is always about me serving you. That's what love is. In every relationship, it's never about me getting my way. It's about me serving you. I got something when I was away. I just put it in my pocket this morning because I remembered I had it. It's just a wee thing that says, Pastor. I'm going to keep it in my pocket, and when I change trousers or shift it, I'll keep it in my pocket so when I'm walking about, whatever I'm doing, or whatever I'm tempted to do, I can put my hand in there and say, hang on a minute, I'm somebody's pastor. And even if my flesh is screaming, do it, do it! And it sounds so reasonable to my soul, I'm not going to do it because I'm your pastor. I'm here to serve you. So I'm looking out for you. He said to me one day, he said, feed my sheep. I'm here this morning to feed the sheep. It doesn't matter to me if there's only one of you, if there's 500 of you, because a sheep, one sheep is sheep. Well, I sat down at a well with one woman, I want to speak spirit words to her because she's a sheep. She's a lost sheep. But right now is her opportunity to get found, to get saved, to get healed, to get delivered, to get redeemed, to get restored. Back to the original plan. You want to be clean and stay clean in this dirty world that we live in. And you've got to love the living word. You've got to love spirit words. You've got to learn to love truth. You've got to learn to love the word that is spoken simply because you love the one who is speaking. Mm-hmm. I love your word because it's you that's speaking it. Somebody help me this morning. See, Jesus is the Word. And I love His Word because it's Him speaking. Yeah. Because that's just what He said. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? I do not do what I say. I lie. You don't know anything about truth. The Father seeking worshippers in spirit and in truth. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another. You know, six times in the Psalm 119, the songwriter speaks about his whole heart. He recognizes it's about the whole heart. Love the truth. Why? Because Father is seeking worshippers. And spirit and truth. Those who love Him with their whole heart, He's longing to, He's looking for someone that he can show himself strong on behalf of. On their behalf, because he recognizes that they're after him with their whole heart. He said, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart, with all of your heart. Nine times the songwriter says, revive me. What's he saying? He said, don't let my love grow cold. You know something about death? It's cold. It's cold. You go in to see that person that you knew your whole life, that you grew up alongside, who used to be warm and soft, used to cuddle you, make you feel secure. You walk in that room, they're just lying there. You touch them, and they're cold. Death is cold. This is not, we're not talking this morning about legalistic adherence to dry and dusty commandments and judgments and statutes. No, see, I love the commandments, I love the judgments, I love the statutes because they are the commandments and they are the judgments and the statutes of the one I love. Mm-hmm. That's why I love them. This is about delighting and hearing and doing what the Word says, not out of legalistic obligation or fearful obligation, but out of love. The Pharisees, they were legalistic custodians of words, but to them these words had become dead letter, and so in their hands they were instruments of death. You know, God doesn't send His Word to kill. I believe it's in Psalm 107. He says He sends His Word to save. He sends His Word to heal. He sends His Word to deliver. What does He send? He sends His Word. What were spirit words? Man cannot live the life he was created to live, Jesus said, by physical bread alone, but by every spirit word that God speaks. Every rhema word. Every word that the Spirit makes alive to you right there at that time when you're right and you need to hear it. Remember the church of Ephesus? Jesus speaks to them in Revelation. These guys, they were strict advocates of doctrinal purity. The only problem was they'd lost touch with their purpose. Jesus said, you've abandoned your first love. You're doing all the right things, but you don't know why you're doing them anymore. You don't understand the motivation for doing what you're doing. And so you've lost the power attached to what you're doing. You've lost touch. You're disconnected. Why do I love the Word? I love the Word because I love the one whose Word it is. Because of that, I love what He loves. I love righteousness. I love justice. I love mercy. And I love people. Because righteousness and justice and mercy are towards the people whom God loves. You see, revival, and you know I'm not a great fan of the word, but it's love cake on the boil. Revival is just love fired up. It's love fueled with the word. It's what it says in Galatians, it's faith activated and energized and expressed and working and put to work through love. No wonder he says, revive me, keep me alive, keep me from getting cold, keep me from death, keep me from facing the blasphemy of death. You know one of the reasons that ISIS are gaining so many new followers? I believe it's because they're presenting people with a half-truth. And that half-truth is that there's still something worth dying for. People whose lives are empty, people who reckon there's a big void in their lives, are saying, hey, here's something worth dying for. Here's a cause. Why don't you join our cause? But it's a counterfeit religious call but it's still proven effective, I'll tell you. And it's a half-truth because the true call of God is to die to self in order to live for Him. The true call of God is to become living proof of His good and acceptable and perfect will. Jesus spoke spirit words. Listen to what He says. John chapter 6 verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit. Oh yeah. Just in case you didn't believe me, I thought I'd keep this. Just so you know it. Jesus is telling you this. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And if you don't respond to these words from your spirit, then you'll miss them. They'll go in one ear, out the other. Your soul will fail to you might make a mess of your soul with them. You might run out and beat somebody else over the head with them. Now you have your soulish zeal. See, the words in your Bible, you know they're just dead letters on the page until they become spirit words, you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 5 to 6, it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's not saying we abandon the Word. No, we need the Spirit Word. The Word is a Spirit Word. We receive the Word as a Spirit Word. We embrace it, and we draw it into our spirit. It becomes life to us. See, it really understands when this is our role in the world. This is our role as we go into another week. We are here to speak spirit words. We are here to speak words that are spirit and life. In case you haven't noticed, trying to hook people's souls ain't working very well. And it might come out of some kind of misplaced sort of desire to reach people, but it ain't working. And a lot of people that are getting saved, you need to spend your whole life trying to keep them saved because they don't know nothing about spirit words. Mm-hmm. We're here to speak spirit words, words that are spirit and life. You know, I've said this for years. What I teach and preach is not designed to try and hook your soul. It's designed to engage with your spirit. And if it doesn't, it ain't going to work. If you don't perceive the prophetic nature of this word, if you don't perceive that there's a prophetic word coming forth here this morning, then you will not honor the prophet, and because of that, the Bible says you will lose the benefit. As I said, I was receiving this message like fireworks going off on me just in the early hours of the morning. A few hours later, I checked my email and discovered that it's the 5th of November. And I read the word for that day from the Glasgow Prophetic Centre. And this is what it says. The refining fire. Are you really ready for the heat to be turned up? Because with more heat comes more refining, more purity, and a heart that ignites, burning with a fire for Him. The Lord is a consuming fire. Will you allow Him to burn up all the dross so that what is left is pure gold? Others may not like. They may be challenged by what you carry. Because of the level of purity, they may not be able to stand around you. Nevertheless, sons and daughters of the King, God will use you if you choose to allow Him to turn up the heat and ignite you afresh. He will use His radiant, on fire ones like lasers. I tell you, the Word of God is like a laser. But it's beyond a laser. Cutting between the soul and the spirit. And there's even Christians who don't believe that there's a difference between the soul and the spirit. Because they don't understand spirit words. Because they've tried to do their whole religious life out of the soul. But this Word of God comes and it cuts between your soul and your spirit. It's the only instrument that's able to do that. Anyway, let me divide this word because he's confused with the two. He says He will use His radiant on fire ones like lasers, just as a laser is super concentrated energy that can cut out diseased flesh in the hands of a skilled surgeon to allow for new growth, so He will use those who allow Him to refine them in the fire. Choose to be one, and this, I love it, it's always a choice, choose to be one who goes through the refining. Be on fire, be pure, be concentrated. And when I read this word I thought, hallelujah, be accurate. One of the definitions for the Greek word for truth that Jesus uses when He says the Father is seeking worshippers in spirit and truth is accuracy. Be accurate. Be like, speak spirit words. Be like refined gold. Speak out the Father's words of life and truth wherever you go. The scripture they gave at the end was 1 Peter 1 verse 7, so that the proof, and so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can you take a bit more? I have no idea how long we've been going, but anyway, it's not long enough, hallelujah. Just stay in the Spirit with me, please, just for a few minutes. I could cut it right here, but I don't feel to do that. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, listen to this as a spirit word. Come into your spirit this morning. I beseech you, therefore, coming down the centuries. It's a living word. It's a now word. It's a today word. It's a rhema word for right here, right now, for your spirit. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your logikos. Man, to your spirit just stood up and said, that sounds logical. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, say prove, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that you may walk around as the proof. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Do you know, folks, we are the proof. We are signs. We are here to be signs and wonders. Worshippers of the Father in spirit and truth. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. We say, thank you, Lord. We say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Where does that message come from? It comes from our spirit to our soul. What is His holy name? I'll tell you what His holy name is. Father. That's what His holy name is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Oh, my kingdom, not my little kingdom, not your kingdom. Your will, no, not my will, your will. I will, your will. Your will be done on the earth as it is in Him. Let your word come to pass. Proverbs 9, verse 1. I'm in Proverbs 9 this morning. I think, Lord, your timing is just immaculate. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out and set up her seven pillars. The Lord reminded me, what are they? Sin-proof heart, sickness-proof body, an oppression-proof mind, a recession-proof finances, divorce-proof marriage, strife-proof relationships, and a death-proof life. Seven pillars. I'll tell you, God will cause all of these things to become a reality in your life when you say, yes, Lord. you become that worshipper in spirit and truth, who just embraces His word and says, I'll do exactly what Your word says. I'll just walk it out, I'll stand on it, I'll proclaim it, I'll declare it, and I believe that everything that's out of sync will become into sync in response to that word. Hallelujah, that spirit word. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody help me. You see, the life of carefree superabundance that I mentioned last week is spirit life. And your soul has never been and never will be equipped to process that. And the spirit, we always have what we need when we need it. And that you need to understand there's zero anxiety in that revelation. I said, you'll always have what you need when you need it. Your soul says, well, how could I ever have a new car unless I go into debt? How could I ever have a house unless I get a mortgage? How could I? All of that stuff begins to churn up because the word of God sounds so unreasonable. God says, just believe me. I'll supply it when you need it. Oh, no. The soul says, oh, no, wait. And there's 100,000 messes that come out of that. Remember when Jesus said to His disciples, let us cross over to the other side. They got in the boat. These were spirit words. Because every word He spoke was a spirit word. He never went into His soul and said, hey guys, fancy taking a sail? I think we should go out for a wee sail across the lake tonight. What do you think? Get away from the crowds. No, He said, let us go to the other side. They were spirit words because every word He spoke was a spirit word. And so the storm blows up and the disciples get in a panic and they wake up Jesus. And you know what He says to them? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Because the spirit of faith attaches itself to spirit words and doesn't allow any circumstances to shift it.
Yeah.
I don't want to chew this up here. He talks about healing and I'm still sick. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that man? Don't just leave that thing alone. They're spirit words. They're designed for you to attach the spirit of faith to them. And I will tell you, it doesn't matter how many symptoms are still there, that word will come to pass in your life. You keep speaking out spirit word. You'll stay in the spirit and refuse to go into the soul. If you stop saying that's an unreasonable, no, that's the divine reasonableness of God. Hallelujah. You know what? People still preach about Jesus calming the storm. Wow. You know what? It was never supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. I had that revelation a couple of years ago. I thought, man, that was never meant to happen. Yeah. Yeah, people are so, whoa, you know, even the disciples are like, who is this guy? Things may not, maybe should have known by then. I might tell you this morning, the church will have reached maturity when there is no longer any need for miracles, you know?
Yeah.
I said the church will have reached maturity when there is no longer any need for, you know what I mean by miracles? You know, miraculous, supernatural, divine intervention, because we're walking, we're standing, we're proclaiming, we're declaring, we're manifesting, we're demonstrating to the world. You know, Jesus never needed a miracle. Oh, shit. Go home and think about chewing that a little bit. And you don't either. You don't either. Proverbs 18 verse 14, really done. Let's stand up again, so you'll know we're done. So you can have confidence. Let me just remind you what it says. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 14, the strong, we're going to start working on this probably next week, and developing our spirits. Proverbs 18 14, the strong spirit of a man sustains him, even in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up? Or be it 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. Now may the God of peace sanctify you, make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Do you believe that this morning? Can you feel the grrr? Can you feel your spirit saying, yes, I like this. I could take some more of that. I could do another hour of preaching, no problem. Come on. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your awesome people in here this morning. I thank you for the incredible heart you have towards each one of us. Thank you, Lord, not just for us, but for those out there that you've commissioned us to reach. The they that you spoke about, that they might have and enjoy life in all of its fullness, that they might have and enjoy a superabundance of life, because they recognize that the words that you speak, they are spirit words, words of spirit and of life, words designed for us to live by, to live the life that you created us to live, to be the evidence, to be the proof, to be the demonstration of your goodness and your faithfulness, to be a sign and a wonder. Father, as we come in this coming week, Lord, I pray, Father, you just help us to learn, to stay in the Spirit, to train our spirit, to become strong in the Spirit, and to learn how to speak Spirit words, to resist every temptation, to step out of the Spirit, back into the soul. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your mercy and your grace is there for us every day. Lord, to lift us up from every failure, from every time we blow it and get it wrong, and set us back on our feet again and say, come on, you can do it. You can walk in the Spirit. I'm watching you. I know you can. Just take another few more steps this time. That's the stuff. You can do it. Hallelujah. You need to hear your Heavenly Father just encouraging you, standing over you and saying, come on, you can do it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father.